The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we saw last time, the basis of God's electing grace does not lie in the work or will of man. So what is the basis of election? In today's sermon, we learn that God's electing grace is rooted in His sovereign purpose and is based upon His intimate foreknowledge of His people. Ultimately, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world because of His eternal love for us. Join us today for the continuation of this encouraging sermon.
Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe is there.
So, it's not of works, it's not of our will. So, what is it based upon? What is election based upon? Well, first of all, we read about it in verse 11. It is based upon the purpose of God. The purpose of God. He says that verse 11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That word purpose is not picked at random, and neither is our election at random. It's not a random choice. It wasn't a happenstance. It certainly wasn't a mistake. It was with purpose. Remember when we preached about and talked about the adoption that we have been given through grace? You know, there's never been an accidental adoption. There's been many accidental births, but there's never been an accidental adoption. Every adoption is with purpose. Beloved, is it not glorious to think that the purpose of God according to election, God purposed to save us? Our salvation is not by chance. I don't need a chance salvation. I would be hopeless if there was a chance salvation. But praise God, it's by purpose. Election was not a mistake. It's not by random. It's not by happenstance. It was with the purpose of God. And God's purpose, beloved, is a sure and certain purpose. If God purposed it, you can rest assured that it's going to be done. You know, if anything was left up to me for my eternal salvation, it might get done and it might not. You know, and in fact, that's not even really a true statement there. It wouldn't get done. But from my way of looking at it, well, maybe I'll get it right, maybe I won't. But beloved, God got it right. He purposed it. We're told, David over there in the 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, when he's talking about that everlasting covenant, he said, "He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure." And he said, "This is all my salvation and all my desire." Beloved, I want to say to you, this grace that we're preaching about, and we keep talking about election, and we talk about predestination, but ultimately, beloved, it's grace. That's what it's about. That's all my salvation, and that's all my desire. I am thankful that it's all my salvation, but in time God showed me through His Word, and I believe He's shown you through His Word, that that's what we have, and that's all I want. I don't want anything but grace. People say, "Oh, what's coming to me?" I don't. No, please don't give me what's coming to me. I need grace. I need mercy. The purpose of God is sure. Back over in Isaiah again, chapter 46, probably a familiar passage to most of you. Isaiah 46, and here he's talking about delivering the children of Israel from their captivity. But he makes a solid and sound statement, declaration about his purposes. Verse 9, Isaiah 46 and verse 9, this is the sovereignty of God. I'm so glad we have a sovereign God. Because we have a sovereign God, that makes my salvation sure. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." I could preach all day on that, but I'm going to skip through it. Just think about what that means. We have one God. He is our God. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country." He's talking about Cyrus the Persian, who's going to come in and deliver take over Babylon and deliver the nation of Israel back to Jerusalem. But listen to what he says then. "Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." So everything God purposes gets done. He said, he doesn't leave it to others. "I have purposed it. I will also do it." Remember what he said? That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Back in Romans 8, verse 28, he said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Not according to your purpose. Not according to my purpose, not according to the preacher's purpose, but according to God's purpose. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, that's another place that we went to last time briefly. One of the greatest statements of the doctrine of election that we find. He says in chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Let me just say to you, beloved, that tells me a lot about the purpose of God, doesn't it? That tells me that God's predestinating grace, God's electing grace, was according to his purpose. And you know, it was an eternal purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Another sort of a restatement of what all we've been talking about here is found here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to this. In verse 9, speaking of God, he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works." Okay, there it is, not of works. "But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That's the purpose of God, his own purpose and grace. See, it's talking again about the electing grace of God. So, first of all, his election is based upon his purpose, and it is an eternal purpose. But also, notice that it's based upon the foreknowledge of God, okay? Remember back over in Romans 8, in verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So one of the foundations of election, God's electing grace, is his foreknowledge. But notice it's not the kind of foreknowledge that the world thinks. We dealt with that a little bit last time. That's one of the false explanations of election, that he looked down through time and saw what you would do. But that's not what it said. He didn't foreknow what, he foreknew whom. He foreknew whom. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." And that, he tells us over in 1 Peter 1, 2, that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And that's what we find, as I said, here in verse 29. And notice that it doesn't mean to know about somebody, okay? 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." He says he knoweth them. He didn't say he knows about them. He knows about everybody. But he knows his people. That word is it declares an intimate knowledge. That's why in the Old Testament you hear about Adam knowing his wife Eve in an intimate way, and the product of that was a child. And beloved, he talks about it in that way very often. Beloved, in this, it's that kind of intimate knowledge that we're talking about here. God foreknew us, not what we would do. He knew about what we would do. He knew all the things that he could see down through the ages of time. He's omniscient. But it's more than that, beloved. Whom he did foreknow. See, that word foreknowledge I've used this before. I think I've told you this before. That word foreknowledge is prognosko. And it means to have more than just knowing about something or someone, but knowing them in an intimate way. Remember in Isaiah 53 and verse 11, we're told that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now what is he talking about? By his knowledge. What knowledge? Well, it was the knowledge of each and every one he was dying for. It's not our knowledge, not whether we know him, but it's about him knowing us, beloved. Over in Isaiah 49, he says this in verse 15. He says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget." You know, that used to bother me when I'd read about the stories about some young woman giving birth and then just, you know, throwing her child in a trash can or something like that. That used to bother me. It still bothers me. Don't get me wrong. But I understand that God is not taken by surprise by that. He said, "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" He said, "Yea, they may forget." There's no, God is, we've never plumbed the depths of human depravity. God has. On the cross, he bore it all. And he said, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." What he's saying there is this, beloved. He didn't write down all the stuff we've done in the palms of his hands. He didn't get a book over here and say, "Let me weigh it out. In one hand, all the good works. In the other hand, all the bad works." No, beloved, you and I, personally, individually, lovingly, are graven in the hands of Christ. You know, I like that because I have this tendency to write things on my hand if I don't have a piece of paper, and sometimes I do it anyway, Brother Byron, just to make sure I don't forget it. You know why I write it here on the palm of my hand? It's so I won't forget it every time I look at my hand, every time it comes, I see it. You know, I love that image that we are graven in the palms of his hands. See, his foreknowledge is a basis of his election. But most importantly, I believe most importantly, God's electing grace, the doctrine of election, is based upon the love of God. The love of God. Back over in Ephesians there, chapter 1. Look at all the times we read about his loving kindness or his grace toward us. Look at it there just for a moment with me. Notice he says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now, there's a little debate among scholars whether that "in love" is actually connected to the verse 4 or it's introducing verse 5. So it may be this: "In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." But either way, it's in love. Whether we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world in love, or whether we're predestinated under the adoption of children in love, beloved, it's all love. And by the way, it is all love. It's absolutely clear here that his choosing and predestinating us were actions that were performed in his love for us. Notice in verse 5, "according to the good pleasure of his will." That's repeated over in verse 7, or verse 6, 9 there, rather. He says, "according to his good pleasure." Notice in verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace." Okay, verse 7, "in whom we have redemption according to the riches of his grace." Notice the loving kindness toward us. Verses 10 and 11, he says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to gather together in one all things, all of us, all of his children. One day he will stand before his Father and he will say, "Behold, I and the children thou hast given me." He says, "I'm going to gather them together. This inheritance that you have is going to be fulfilled." He says, "We are predestinated," verse 11, "according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And notice verse 12, "that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." And back in verse 6, he talked about us being to the praise of, everything he's doing was to the praise of the glory of his grace. Isn't that glorious? It's all about God. It's none about you. It's all about his love toward us and him making the difference. If we made the difference instead of God, then we would glory in us and not in him. I think one of the, you know, sometimes we, I don't know about you, I sit around and think about things, and I've asked myself before, why did God choose me? Why did he choose a certain one, you know, and not another? Why me? And you know, the best answer that I can come up with is found back over in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Back over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in talking with his covenant people, Israel, who are representative in Jacob over in Romans chapter 9, of all of his children everywhere. He says in verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God." This is Deuteronomy 7. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Sounds a lot like his personal individual election, doesn't it? Now listen to verse 7. Why did he do it? "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people." You know, I kind of translate that to myself by saying God didn't choose me because I was the best and the greatest, because I was the least. I was the least. So why did he do it? Why did he do it? I think this is the best answer we'll ever get right here until maybe we get to heaven. Verse 8, "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." You know, you want to know what the electing grace of God is based upon? It's based upon the fact that the Lord loved you. The Lord loved you. It wasn't some academic exercise. It wasn't some philosophical desire. It was a love that he had from before the foundation of the world. And is that not what Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 31:3? He says, "Lo, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Beloved, our election in Christ, our being chosen in Christ, is an everlasting love affair. That he loved us for some inexplicable reason, known only to him, but he did love us. He did love us, and he chose us. And that's the doctrine of, that's the basis of the doctrine of election.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.